Okay, once again, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And indeed, it has been a very big week with the NBA draft, and that is where our next discussion and our conversation will focus. We have invited back to our show award-winning sports writer who has covered college basketball for 35 years, the National College Basketball Writer. And of course, I also have to share, he's in the New England Basketball Hall of Fame, always anxious to get his thoughts, especially on this year's 2014 draft. What a pleasure to have with us Ken Davis. Hello, Ken. It's good to have you with us tonight.
Thanks for having me back. But when you say 35 years, that makes me feel older than the fact that I'm not a grandpa. So,
well, I know that you are one very proud grandpa because, yeah, you and I had a chance to talk earlier in the week. And little Ethan, he's getting around at 9 months old, isn't he?
He's starting to be mobile. So the family's got to watch out, put up the gates, and lock everything down. So he's going to be fun.
Okay, so we're going to talk some college basketball here just momentarily, but a big trade went down earlier this week, and I want you to weigh in on that between the Knicks and the Mavericks. A six-player trade, and of course, the Mavericks come on home. Tyson Chandler, and he is reunited with the team that he won a championship with in 2011. I know they're very excited. What was your first reaction when you heard this go down?
Well, actually, I was working on some UConn stories. I'd gone over to see Kevin Ollie yesterday. I was writing about Shabazz Napier when you texted me and told me that had happened. I hadn't seen it yet, so I was locked in. But, you know, these things are going to happen with this draft. And, you know, I think the last 2 weeks, a couple of key things obviously happened with the whole situation for the draft and movement for the teams with trades and everything. And that's, first of all, Joel Embiid's injury, the big guy from Kansas, you know, with a stress fracture in his foot, and that leads to a lot of, you know, speculation about what people were going to do in the draft. And then, the you know, trades like this, and the three words we're going to hear the most are salary cap flexibility, probably so much that we're going to get sick of it because there's going to be movement, I'm sure, continued movement, and that's obviously the big thing behind this big deal between the Knicks and the Mavericks, and I figured you'd be happy to get the big guy back there, get one of your champions back in Dallas. But I think, you know, that's obviously the key guy, I think, getting Tyson Chandler back, and he's probably not the same guy that won Defensive Player of the Year, at least, you know, it doesn't seem that way, but you know, I think obviously, that's a great thing for Dallas. And Raymond Felton, kind of lukewarm on him. I don't watch a lot of NBA because I'm so busy with the college season. I don't watch a lot until the playoffs. Raymond Felton, I always thought, hasn't really lived up to his expectations. He's not a great defensive player, but maybe the Mavericks are a little bit better off with him, though, than what they had before. So I think it's a good deal for the Mavericks, and obviously, you know, it doesn't take long in these stories about these deals to get to that salary cap flexibility, and everybody wants a chance to get Carmelo Anthony or LeBron, which whatever he's, you know, doing here. I think really LeBron is just kind of challenging Pat Riley to get the right pieces around him, and that was one of the things I was writing about Shabazz Napier and how the Heat had shown so much interest prior to the draft and really wanted to get a point guard in there. They're not thrilled with what they have. Mario Chalmers had kind of an off year, I hate to say, about my Kansas Jayhawk, but you know, they need some help there. And Shabazz had really elevated his stock quite a bit. Of course, winning a national championship and being an All-American, but also in workouts. So, you know, a lot of interesting stuff going on pre-draft. I'm sure there'll be things going on in the future, and you know, deep down, I think LeBron's going to be back with the Heat.
Okay, so we've been hitting and hooping up some NBA with college basketball sports writer Ken Davis, and I know that earlier this year you had released a book, 100 Things Kansas Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. It's doing extremely well. So how big of a concern was it for you when you heard about, and you had just mentioned Joel Embiid's stress fracture in his foot?
I don't know. Obviously, it throws up a red flag with general managers and maybe makes them think twice. I just couldn't really see him dropping that much because of it, because he's got such an upside. And, you know, he has had the other injuries. I suppose if you start putting things together, really the knee injury wasn't really that serious. People want to talk about the back injury at the end of the year. kept him out of the Big 12 tournament and also the NCAA tournament was a big deal, obviously, for Kansas. And for him, I felt really bad for him. He comes from Cameroon, and he wants, you know, he's just getting adjusted to college basketball in the United States, and he got off to a little bit of a slow start, but, you know, any freshman can do that, and he really just exploded into the eye of the nation, so to speak, in late December, early January, and then had, you know, just had a couple of fantastic months, and with all of his numbers, that didn't even impress me as much as the magnificent footwork that he has for someone so young and so new to the, you know, the American game, and really to the game overall. And he was a great story. I didn't ever get a chance to be out there and interview him personally. I talked to a lot of people who did. He's a very pleasant person. I've seen a lot of interviews on TV and everything, and just a happy guy. And I feel bad for him in light of having all these things that he has to, you know, everybody wanted to see his medical reports, and so people had to make their own judgments. I think a lot of teams were still in his camp and had him on radar because of his terrific upside, and you just never know. I mean, and then others, people want to call him the next Greg Oden, you know, and so he's gone through a rough time here with the injuries. You just hope the best for him, and it was sad for me last week when I heard this happen, because I think, you know, he was kind of overcoming some of that with his workouts and some of his tests that you know, that he was okay. So if somebody wants to be a worrier and say, well, he's got injury problems, you know, that's their loss. I think down the road, you know, you're gonna see this guy maybe had the most upside of anybody, you know, in the lottery. So we'll see what he does. I wish him the best, because it's kind of one of those dream come true kind of situations, you know, and it happened very quickly. I think he wanted to stay in school. He was having a blast at Kansas, but you know, you got to do what you got to do, and then something like this happens.
Well, Embiid certainly has an exceptionally high ceiling, has so much upside with him. What do you appreciate the most about his game? Because it is remarkable just to see how much he has expanded at such a rapid rate. I mean, the fact that you just talked about this earlier. I mean, he's only been playing basketball since 2011. His background is actually he's a former volleyball and soccer player.
Yeah, I am. You know, it's getting to that point where you kind of like some of these guys that have other sports in their backgrounds, mm-hmm. and then they get some good coaching and they adapt rather well. No, I think his defensive presence was amazing, and I think that was a huge factor in Kansas going out in the second round. They needed somebody like that to protect the rim, and, you know, that's one of those terms that you hear a lot too, but that's what he did. And then, like I said, you know, he's a terrific rebounder, and also just his footwork was way ahead of schedule in my book. You know, I used to say, well, Danny Manning made so many of these big men what they were at Kansas. Of course, Danny's been gone a few years now to Tulsa and now moved on to Wake Forest. Joel was just amazing from day one, and really when KU recruited him, you know, because of what you just said with him not playing ball that long, I didn't know that much about him. But when I saw him in the McDonald's game, I was like, wow, this guy could really be good. And I don't think anybody at Kansas, I was out there for the late night, the first night of practice in October, and all the focus was on Andrew Wiggins, of course. And I don't think anybody truly knew, maybe not even Bill Self. I know Bill loved the guy, but I'm not sure anybody knew that he could do what he did so quickly.
Well, he's 7 feet tall, what, 250. I mean, I would assume those, you know, he's got to add more muscle, get some additional bulk on. But the thing I keep hearing over and over again, how smart he is, high basketball IQ. Can you provide some insight on that?
Well, he's got to have that if he's learning so quickly. And you saw him grow from game to game, you know, and that's another one of those terms, high basketball IQ. But some guys have it, some don't. You know, that just that innate ability to learn and progress and keep getting better, and that's what we were seeing from him. You know, until he sat out a couple of games with a knee injury, and then of course the big blow was the back injury that kept him out of the tournament. And you know, you always wonder in a situation like that. You knew he was thinking about coming out, and so many, you know, scouts go to so many games during the year, and then they're formulating their opinion, but then they put a lot of emphasis on the next stage, which is the tournament, where a guy can show what he can do, or if he can't handle the pressure. And so Joel didn't get that opportunity to show off in the tournament, and then, you know, then he had to answer some questions in the whole process of workouts and evaluations then. So he's had a very interesting year of dramatic ups and downs. But I just think, you know, he may not, well, he's obviously going to, they say he's going to be out 4 to 6 months now with this injury. So he's not going to be able to, if a team wants somebody to contribute the first day, then you know, that wasn't going to be the case with him. But let's give him some time, let him get healed, get back, and then I think in 3 years, a lot of people are going to look back and say, well,
right,
maybe we
mm-hmm.
should have just gone ahead and pulled the trigger.
National college basketball sports writer and author Ken Davis is joining us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Man, the clock and time is quickly flying by. I definitely want you to provide some insight on Andrew Wiggins. Obviously, his future is so bright, but I love the fact that Andrew says, defense can be my X factor. He really gets after it on the defensive end, doesn't he?
Oh, from the very beginning, you know, and even in high school. And, you know, but he came on and was really the guy that for Kansas was trying to lock down the best scorer on the other team all the time, and there were some very exciting matchups throughout the year. And you know, he didn't let the offensive problems, you know, the struggles that he had from time to time get in the way of that. I think he played well defensively, but I'm sure he had a bad game here and there, but I mean overall he played well defensively all year, and that was something that was overlooked for a while people were criticizing him for not being as spectacular as he was supposed to be. But the expectations were set so high for him that, you know, Bill Self said many times, nobody could meet those expectations. He's a great player. He's so athletic. The defensive ability has got to be a big plus for him coming into the NBA. But his, you know, his vertical leap was just amazing. That was a trend on Twitter. You know, we saw him so many times do things that you just don't see the normal guy do, even the top-ranked guys, especially on the rebounding when he has that ability to quick jump the second time and get up on the board, you know, whether it's a shot that he missed or somebody else missed, or maybe he missed a putback. It was the one time against Kansas State when he even went out of bounds and came back in and got that second jump and scored. Seen that highlight over and over and over, but it was a terrific play.
Well, the thing about Andrew, though, too, is that to his advantage is his father, Mitchell, played in the NBA for 6 seasons. And how about his mom, too? She was an Olympic silver medal winning a track and field athlete. Listen, Ken, we are completely out of time. We love having you on. You're always providing some great insight and perspective. And we will talk to you again real soon, I promise, okay?
Thanks, Alyssa. Take care.
Many thanks to all of our guests in our lineup. That, of course, was Ken Davis, national college basketball sports writer. Steve Habel, the senior writer with Horns Illustrated. Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. David Hunt, the president of Hunt Auctions. Claudia Williams, the daughter of the legendary Red Sox hitter. And Phil Steele, the publisher and editor of Phil Steele Magazine. I'm Alyssa Walker-Campbell, encouraging you to not drink and drive. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports at YSR.